But let's, while we're talking about abortion, let's understand that in a society that murders innocent babies, that society, those kinds of doctors, those kind of so-called healthcare professionals will murder you, as we saw during the 2020 so-called pandemic. They will murder you. And this is yet another example of murdering adults for organ harvesting. You see, if you're going to let Planned Parenthood murder babies so that they can extract organs and the woman who's running this thing wants a Lamborghini and she can sell these organs to Fauci, well, guess what? They're going to do that to adults as well. I talked back on last Thursday. I talked about a very interesting article from the Gold Report. Are the made organ donors, and this is the official suicide thing in Canada, the MAID program. Are the MAID organ donors really dead when their organs are harvested? Waiting 5 minutes after a heart stops may not be enough. And in the process of that, we talked about the fact that, you know, they'd look at people who had supposedly no brain activity because the electroencephalogram shows a flat line if your brain activity drops below 50%, but your brain's not damaged until it goes below 20%. So you could be somewhere between 20 and 50%, and you could be there for a very long time. We had the example of the mother who was in that situation. So she's brain dead. And said, well, we're going to take her organs. And her husband said, let me try one thing. Let me put my one-year-old daughter on the phone and let her hear that. And when she heard her one-year-old daughter's voice on the phone, she instantly woke up. And so when we look at this, as I explained in the article, as we talked about last Thursday, you're not going to take organs out of a dead person because immediately things start to happen. And so they always extract organs from a living person. That's especially true of babies. And we talked about this with the Planned Parenthood thing back in the day. When I first came out, I think it's in 2015. They would say, okay, what organs do you need at what age and all this kind of stuff? And so they would make a schedule. They would have everything lined up. This isn't like, you know, oh, well, you know, we got a lot of dead babies over here that we aborted. Are there any of them we could use for spare parts? No, it's not like that. They schedule this. They arrange it. You want a baby that is at this age, okay, well, we'll find somebody and we'll abort it. We'll have everything ready. We'll pull the baby out. We'll kill it by removing the organs, nice and fresh. We put them in this and ship them off to Fauci or whoever. And the same thing is happening to adults, you see. If you want to support this type of thing, then maybe it's going to happen to you as an adult. So this is a story that was out of Kentucky. Natasha Miller says she was getting ready to do her job preserving donated organs for transplantation when the nurses wheeled the donor into the operating room. She quickly realized something wasn't right. Though the donor had been declared dead, he seemed to be very much alive. He was moving around, actually thrashing, she said. Moving, thrashing around on the bed. And then when we went over there, you could see that he had tears coming down. He was crying visibly. The donor's condition alarmed everyone in the operating room at Baptist Health Hospital in Richmond, Kentucky, including the two doctors there that refused to participate in the organ retrieval, she said. The procuring surgeon was like, I'm out of it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It was very chaotic, she said. Everyone was just very upset. She said she overheard the case coordinator at the hospital for her employer, Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates, CODA, called her supervisor for advice. So the coordinator calls the supervisor at the time, and she was saying that he was telling her that she needed to find another doctor to do it. Hear that? This is amazing. The patient's alive. He's kicking around on the thing, and he's crying. Find another doctor to do it. I'm going to make a lot of money off of this transplant. You see what? When you these transplant agencies and the doctors and the hospitals make so much money out of all this. I remember Walter Williams, just from an economic standpoint, He talked about kidney donations and things like that. He said there shouldn't be any shortage of organs. If you allowed the donor families to be able to make money for this, he said you'd probably have a lot of people who would donate kidneys and things like that. I mean, you know, a lot of these organs, you one of a kind. You can't live without them. But he said you'd probably have a lot of kidney donors that are out there. But they won't give the donors or their families any money whatsoever. You see, the medical community in the hospital has ethics. Yeah, they've got ethics, all right. They got the kind of ethics that say, we get all the money. You don't get anything. It just shows how greedy they are. Now, you know, Walter Williams wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about the issues of life and death or ethics, nothing of that. But again, just from a purely economic standpoint, which is an economics professor. He would talk about that. But folks, the love of money is the root of all evil. It'll get people to kill you for your organs. It'll get people to kill babies for their organs. And when you allow them to kill babies for their organs, they might kill you or a loved one for these organs as well. So they said, just find another doctor to do it. We're going to do this case. She needs to find somebody else. She said she heard the guy yelling at her on the phone. And she's like, but there is no one else. And she started crying. The coordinator did, because she's getting yelled at. She's in a situation where I got to find somebody to murder this guy or I'm going to lose my job. What do I do? Yeah, what do I do? I got to weigh these two alternatives here. The organ retrieval was canceled, but some of the CODA workers, that's the organization that does the organ donors stuff. Some CODA workers say they later quit over this incident. I would. Do you want to work for a company like that that would murder people? How are they different from the Chinese communists? Including another organ preservationist that was referred to in here, who says, I've dedicated my entire life to organ donation and transplant. It's very scary to me now that these things are allowed to happen and that there's not more in place to protect donors. She was not assigned to that operating room that day, but she says that she thought she might get drafted. So she started to review case notes from earlier in the day. She became alarmed when she read that the donor showed signs of life when the doctors tried to examine his heart, she said. The donor had woken up during his procedure that morning for a cardiac catheterization, and he was thrashing around on the table. Cardiac catheterization is performed on potential organ donors to evaluate whether the heart is healthy enough to go to a person in need of a new heart. Martin says doctors sedated the patient when he woke up and plans to recover his organs proceeded. CODA officials downplayed the incident afterwards. Isn't that amazing? You know, they do this and he wakes up and they sedate him and they're going to continue on with the operation. And then when he's moving around, the organ donor coordinator says, do it anyway. So person who looked at this stuff and said, that's what I saw. She said, that's everybody's worst nightmare, right? Being alive during surgery and knowing that somebody's going to cut you open, take your body parts out. That's horrifying, she said. The sister of the 36-year-old man, the patient involved in this, as he was rushed to the hospital because of a drug overdose, she said. And that was the other thing I was talking about. I said, they typically do this because of drug overdoses. That is what's happening so much. I wonder how many people are really dying of drug overdoses and how many people are dying because the hospital decided to remove their organs. She said she became concerned something wasn't right when he appeared to open his eyes and look around as he's being wheeled from intensive care to the operating room. It was like his way of letting us know, hey, I'm still here. But she said she and other family members were told that what they saw was just a common reflex. This is something that went on for quite some time, and there were a lot of people that were going to proceed with this anyway. Don't worry, he just opened his eyes and he's looking around. That's just a reflex action. He's not really alive. So Baptist Health Richmond said in a statement, safety of our patients is always our highest priority. We work closely with our patients and their families to ensure our patients' wishes for organ donation are followed. I looked them up, and it's actually a Christian organization. You know, a lot of these hospitals began Baptist hospitals, Catholic hospitals, or whatever. Then they get bought out by these corporations. Well, although, you know, this has a lot of different hospitals, when you go to their website, they still have a Christian mission statement and all the rest of the stuff. Coda, in a statement, said, no one at Coda has ever pressured to collect organs from any living patient. Coda does not recover organs from living patients. Coda has never pressured its team members to do so. Well, of course, that's a lie, not just because we've got multiple people who testified to the contrary, but because you don't take organs out of a dead body and think you're going to do anything with them. And that's what I talked about last Thursday, what the doctor was explaining. Others also fear these unnerving reports could undermine the organ transplant system. You might become hesitant. You know, that's my whole point. I want people to be vaccine hesitant. I want them to be organ donor hesitant. That's why they hate me so much. Well, getting back to this case, this guy runs an organ transplant system watchdog group called Organize. He says, this doesn't seem to be a one-off. This is not a bad apple here. This particular supervisor for the donor thing, or these doctors, multiple people at that hospital, put him under again. He's moving, put him under. We're still going to take these organs. He said, I receive allegations like that with alarming regularity. A bioethicist and lawyer at School of Law in St. Paul, Thaddeus Pope, said, this is not a one-off. It has been alleged to happen before. A transplant surgeon at the University of Alabama described a similar incident during the congressional hearing. His name is Dr. Robert Cannon. He said, we actually were in the operating room. We actually had opened the patient, and we were in the process of preparing their organs, at which point the ventilator triggered. And so the anesthesiologist at the head of the table spoke up and said, hey, I think this patient might have just breathed. If the patient breathes, that means that they're not brain dead. And of course, the whole definition of brain death has a very suspicious origin, as I talked about last Thursday. And it is phony. The whole concept of brain death was developed to cover up the murder of a couple of babies that they did a transplant on. It was horrific. It was Frankenstein's science. They both died, and they said, oh, brain dead. You know, they came concocted this alibi, and it's continued to pass on. Nevertheless, a representative from the OPO wanted to proceed anyway, Kennan says, but he refused. So again, he's a doctor, and he said, well, the patient started breathing. We already opened him up. We're preparing the organs to come out. He breathes. So, okay, we'll stop. The representative for the organ donor waiting there to grab the organ and take it to make money says, keep going. I'm not going to do that. He says, if anybody who's got knowledge about what brain death means, they would say, you should just go ahead. He said, and we thought, no, we're not going to take any risk that we might murder a patient because that's what it would have been if the patient had been alive. Since the release from the hospital, this guy that we began the story with, his sister says he's got problems remembering, walking, and talking. She said, they're trying to play God. They're almost, you know, picking and choosing. They're going to take the person to save these other people. And you kind of lose your faith in humanity a little bit. You know, it's kind of on a life and death scale, what the government does all the time. Well, we're going to kill this corporation or this business over here. Just speaking in crass economic terms, it's what the regulators do all the time. We're going to destroy this business over here, these people's lives, and we're going to help that one over there. That's what Trump did during the lockdown, as a matter of fact, right? The big box, the Wall Street companies, they're essential. The rest of you, small mom and pop retailers, are not essential. We're closing you down. Well, Risha says, yeah, drugs don't matter. Some think the young man being shot in the head in Chicago is for organ trafficking. Nurses see them crying a lot. They go paralytic, but no pain meds. It is absolutely barbaric. Risha M. says, my brother had meth in his system, and they still took his organs. Yeah, isn't that amazing, too? That's the other thing. You got somebody that they claim is dying of a drug overdose. They got to have a lot of things like that in their system. and they still take it. NN said, I've seen time of death after the start for organ extraction and two documents with contradicting information. The woman was very much alive. She was kept alive for 2 days, apparently, either to rack up fees or for the family. I don't know.
Let me tell you, the David Knight Show, you can listen to with your ears. You can even watch it by using your eyes. In fact, if you can hear me, that means you're listening to the David Knight Show right now. Yeah, good job. And you want to know something else? You can find all the links to everywhere to watch or listen to the show at thedavidknightshow.com. That's a website.